the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered. They went everywhere, taking the gospel with them and sharing it with others. Thank God this congregation has a love for lost souls that has caused it, without persecution, to be willing to take the gospel to not only our community, but to other places in the world. Tonight, we hope that we can share with you what your money, your sacrifice, your efforts, your love, and your prayer is doing to spread the gospel in India. I would say very quickly that the pictures nor words can adequately describe and really tell the story of India and the spread of the Lord's church and the gospel there and the growth of the church. However, I do hope, and Charles does, who's going to be sharing with me tonight some thoughts, I hope that tonight we can at least share with you some of the feelings then that you can grasp to some degree what's happening in this country. Pictures nor words can adequately describe it. But our aim is, the aim I'm sure of this entire congregation, is to change the world with the unchangeable word of Christ. And so during the next few moments, we'd like to share with you in pictures and words something of what's happening on this, at least this last missionary trip to India. If someone would get the lights, please, we'd appreciate it. India, of course, is a tremendously large country, and we've tried to travel from place to place. If you'd go ahead and change the slide. I'm going to put a little red light right over here, and when you see that, if you'd change that slide, I'd appreciate it. Okay, you're familiar with India. I'm not going to say a great deal about it. I mean, Goa. Goa is the smallest state. Portuguese settled here. The people are a little bit different. They're more gentle. But a good work is going on in Goa, continues to increase. J. Rao. We've worked with J. Rao for many years. He's doing a good work. But now he's being assisted by another man who has come to work with him named Prince. We went to another village, another town, actually, a rather large town, and met in this house, which is actually the home of a rather high-ranking, as they put it, Catholic man in that city. But we were able to meet in his house with his wife. His wife is right back here, and this is their living room, and we were able to meet there for a Bible study that day. Charles spoke on this occasion. We both had an opportunity, and it was really encouraging to see this new congregation beginning there. They're spreading the gospel. After that, we went into a very, very poor area that Prince took us to. There's a lot of poverty in India, but this was something, going down through these just really dirty. But we were looking for these children, And this man right over here has been trying to help these children. And by the way, these walls that you see are just tin, made out of tin. They're covered over with, they're pasted with newspapers. It was very hot and really right dim in there. But these children were bright, and we sang with them and taught some lessons with them. So that was encouraging. That was a completely new work. We also met in the home of this man and his wife, who are members at the church in Goa, and this was his family. We had a Bible study that night in their home. Okay. Now, from there, we went over to the Andaman Islands, Andaman Nicobar Islands. It's quite a little journey over there. We flew and got there on a Sunday morning. The thing about this this particular place is this is where the tsunami hit very severely, and a lot of people lost their lives and a great deal of damage. But members of the church went over here to these islands and began helping the people, and now a church has been established there. Times of worship on Sunday morning. Doesn't look like much to us, but that's equal to maybe better than some of the houses around there. But this is where the preacher and the church meets. This is Paul. Again, his name has been changed. I couldn't tell you what his real name is, but he's Paul now, and just really a fine, fine man, doing a good work. They have taken out a wall or two in this house, and these were people just beginning to come in for an evening service. This was Sunday night. It had a good crowd there before it was all over. And Titus is another young preacher that's working with Paul. So we've got Paul and Titus on the Isle of the Ottoman Islands. And they went there. There was nothing, and they have established the church, and it's going well. From there, we went back over to Chennai. This is Tamil, the state of Tamil Nadu. Okay. We were going to travel to another area, and just some scenes along the way. There's some rich folks in India, but I'm telling you, there's still a great deal of poverty. We ride in these little three-wheelers quite often, but we've never had that many in one. Okay. Now, this was just a great day. You remember several years ago, we came back and told you about some orphan children that were living in mud huts and drinking water out of mud puddles, and you were so generous to help get them a place to live, and that was this part right in here. But on just recently, we've been able to add a room here for the house parents, and then back here, there are two sections where there's a kitchen and a bathroom for the children. This is in the room where the parents are going to, the house parents are going to be staying. I don't know, if I had to care for 35 children, I might look like that too. Actually, he's got a fine smile. He looked rather glum there. But Dan Ajaya is an outstanding man, has a master's degree, and it was his concept to begin with to try to help these children, and he and his family and the church there in Sulipet now are doing that. This is the outside of this new room where the parents are going to be living. Okay, we had a ribbon cut. Actually, we had three ribbon cuttings this day. I was cutting the ribbon to go into the new house parents' room. Okay, Charles was cutting the ribbon to go into the new kitchen. Now, when we talk about kitchens, that's not what we think of. But that's a pretty good kitchen for them, and they'll cook a lot of rice there. So they were extremely happy to have that, okay? And then I got to cut the ribbon to the bathroom. Now, this was just a little inset, and I don't mean to be indiscreet, but just to give you an idea of the different facilities they use there from, okay. All right, let's go ahead. These are some of the children. I mean, they just break your heart. They're just sweet children, and they're so thankful that now they have a place to live and to be taken care of. They seem to be happy, and they're well cared for. There was a doctor there that day who was donating his time, and someone had donated all of this medicine for them, for the children, and so as it's needed, the doctor will be there to help them and take care of the children's needs. But this little girl, to me, she had one eye that was crossed, and yet she got right in there with all the rest of them. Very, very poor child. This couple right here, members of the church in Sulipet, and they had collected some clothes and were distributing the clothes to these children. They had several boxes of clothes, and they were kind enough to let me get in there with them and give some of the clothes out. But the children were well-behaved, and they just took their turn to come up, and it might be a shirt or a pair of pants or a dress for a little girl. Then we traveled, I think it was about 30 minutes, over to visit Vinay Kumar. Vinay and his wife are doing a good work there, and the church is doing well. These are all men, by the way, that Gray Mare has a part in supporting. Doesn't look like much to us, but the church is meeting upstairs here in this place. Okay. Next one. As you walk in, you see this arrow go up the steps, and on one side upstairs the church is meeting. On the other side, you have a internet cafe. I think we're going backwards. Okay. This particular day, we had an opportunity to meet with these men and their wives. These are all preachers. And Vinay Kumar had gathered these men who preach in that area together and their wives. You notice the men are sitting in chairs and the women are having to sit on the floor. But that's rather common. But this little boy, and the reason they were smiling, this little boy was quoting the books of the Bible. And he did a good job. He was speaking in some language that I couldn't. But evidently they thought he was, and they were very happy with him. Okay. But anyway, it's so encouraging to study with these people. They bring their pads and pencils and their Bibles, and they really are intent as you try to teach Bible lessons with them. And it was a joy to be with these preachers as well as their wives. Now, after that, we went out in this field. We had to drive a little ways, and then we got out and walked down this path through this field. Okay. Had to go down through some gullies, up the other side. Rather long walk, and some of these were a little bit older, but we made it. This is part of an irrigation system for these fields, and this is why we had come out here. There was water here where they could baptize, and Vinay here is reading the scriptures again to the man that's about to be baptized, and all of these people, hot day, but they had come a long way just to be a part of this. You can see maybe the man's head down in here. That's the way they baptize in India. The person will sit down in a pool of water or river or whatever. Okay. And I couldn't help but think about the Ethiopian. He went on his way rejoicing. That man truly was happy. But Vinay Kumar is very sincere. There was a young lady that said she wanted to be baptized, but he would not baptize her until he had studied rather extensively with her and made sure she understood what was going on. He's a good man. Then back in Chennai, and he's just a street corner after street corner, you see various Hindu temples. That's a pretty modest one. But anyway, we're back in Chennai now. And this was a new statue of a monkey god here. It had its head, it wasn't uncovered yet. But I ran across this picture just to show you the size of these things. And I've never seen a train that modern in India, but found that picture. And you can get some idea of how large these statues, these idols are, that these people worship. How in the world, with the technology and advancements and education they have, they can still be such idol worshipers. Okay. Then went out to the National Bible College that Graymere likewise helps to support. Really, really enjoyed having several days to get to teach in the school. Some young ladies are sitting over here and the men over here, but taught several classes for several days there, and it was just one of the highlights of the trip as far as I was concerned. That school, by the way, has turned out more than 300 preachers now that are scattered around India. This is Emmanuel and Sheila. She's Peter Solomon's daughter. They went out to St. Thomas Mount. St. Thomas Mount is a stronghold of the Catholic Church. It's the mount where tradition says that Thomas was martyred. It's simply tradition. But they have just built this new building, church building. The church is, when Emmanuel went out there, there was nothing. And they have built a good, strong congregation, and it's still growing, and it's just wonderful to see what they're doing. This is their family. They have two children, and they have adopted two children. I remember when she was a little girl riding her bicycle to school, and then when they got a little bit older, I thought, man, they would make a nice couple, and they did. This is the way they take the contributions on Sunday. They most of the time has a long handle on it, but that little basket, kind of a velvet thing, they pass around and people put their hand down in and put their money. Now, Sheila makes those, and she refinishes the handles on them. And then they have communion trays that they provide for churches all throughout that part of India. So they're doing a good service there. Okay. P.M. Daniel, his wife. P.M., such a good man. He was high up in the Pentecostal church many years ago. He heard the gospel preached, and he left Pentecostal church. He has a Ph.D. He lost a lot of financial support that he had had in earlier years. And now living in this house that was just made out of really mud, thatched roof. His wife has just recently lost the sight of one eye. She had a rather large aneurysm on her brain. And as a result, she's been very sick. And they had to sell their house, their property, in order to try to pay for the doctor bill. And that still didn't pay all of it. And some here have helped with that. But mighty, mighty fine man. He teaches in the National Bible College also. But Grace College, or Cottage, that's what he called his place. Kind of sad that they've had to give it up. Okay. They used to meet in a building on the other side, but the man who owned it said that he wanted it for something else. So PM and the brethren were able to build this little church building right next to his house. And they've only been meeting in there for a short time, but now he's had to sell everything he had for her doctor bills. And so they've had to move into even a poorer area than this now. Okay. In contrast to that, this is at Sinagar, probably the largest congregation in India. Peter Solomon began this congregation, but this is the first time he had been back in about 7 weeks. He has now turned the preaching over to Vijay Kumar. Very, very capable man. He also works in the Bible College, but he's doing the preaching there now in Solomon has. By the way, this was on Sunday morning. These were the men that were going to pass the communion to the congregation, but they come to the front of the congregation, and during the prayer they kneel down and then they pass it. You notice they don't have any shoes on, but nobody else in the building except Charles and me, I think, had shoes on. But that they take their shoes off before they go into their houses or into the church building. All right. This is a new congregation that Solomon has started. It's in the center of town. It's called the Central Chennai Church of Christ. They're meeting in a school room, but they've already outgrown it in 7 weeks. They had more than 45 people there that Sunday morning, and it'll continue to grow. Then we had the lectureship. Charles helped get this started years ago. This is the 28th International Lectureship. Preachers and people from various parts of India come to the lectureship. This is B.J. Kumar and Emmanuel. Both of them are master's degrees, capable men, and Graymere helps support both of those men. Okay. During the lectureship, some of the Indian brethren, this is P.M. Daniel, and then some of us from the States lectured, had a good lectureship. This was the graduation ceremony. Since Graymere underwrites this work, they put me in there, that green coat. But that's just representing Graymere. Okay. I did get an opportunity to speak to the graduates on that occasion. Okay. All right. These are the elders of the Sinagar congregation. They were the first congregation probably in India to have elders. And these seem to be very capable men. This is one of the newer elders. He led an outstanding prayer that day of the graduation. Okay. Reason I put this picture in there, it kind of tells you how long the school's been going on. This young man was graduating, and his father was in the first graduating class of the National Bible College, and now his son has graduated from there. Now here's Sheila. I want to tell you a little bit about Sheila. She's Peter Solomon's daughter. This was her third master's degree. She has one in psychology. I forgot what the other one was. And now she has one from the National Bible College as well. Her husband is Emmanuel, the preacher at St. Thomas Mount. They, in addition to their children, have adopted two. She prepares a meal for the entire congregation every Sunday. She sews those bags you saw earlier and finishes the handles. She also edits this magazine for Christian women. I don't know how she does it all. She did have a little motor scooter that she would ride to go teach the women in various places, but she sold it to put on the church building, so some of the expense of trying to build the new church building, so she doesn't have that anymore. She did mention to me that, you know, a lot of the men are being supported, but nobody's supporting any of the ladies, and She would be a good one to do that. This man's name is Upendananda. And Upendananda is another man we work with. He's in the state of Orissa, and there's a lot of persecution that's been going on in that state. He gave me a DVD of some of the persecution. I didn't look at it until about two nights ago. I could not believe it. I couldn't watch it. I finally turned it off. You cannot believe what they were doing to Christians in that state. And I use the term Christian in the broad sense. Some of them were, but burned their houses. Some of the Christians were burned up. There were pictures of people in a circle with big sticks just beating the life out of Christians lying on the ground. And when they'd get up, somebody would come along and jump and kick them in the back or in the neck. And they were just bloody, and they were Christians. Now, we think we have it rough sometimes. I've never seen anything like that. Made me think of what some of those early Christians must have gone through. But it's still happening in some places in the world. Okay. Another man that we work with is surely a fine man. This is Vijay Kumar. They have, I think, four children. Two of them are adopted. He and his wife are likewise doing a good work, okay? This is out in front of the street. You can tell it's a very poor area, but that's pretty typical, okay? They live in this thatched roof house, and the church meets in kind of the end of it. Roof is coming down. That's his father, who's just had his 90th birthday. Unusual in India. But they want to be hospitable, and so they had oranges and bananas and things for us. But you can see they don't have any furniture to amount to anything. Hang their clothes on a string and suitcase there. But they're still very, very hospitable people. But okay. This is down at the other end of the place, and where they were. We had a Bible study with a good group of people that day. This was one of about eight or nine blind men that are now part of that congregation, and Vijay Kumar has converted most all of them and works with them, takes care of them. He was translating. I spoke. Charles spoke after that. See that? Now, if you go back, well, it's not that important anyway. But this mother crocheted that. She used to support this man years ago. And they had a baby, and so she crocheted that for their baby. It's all stretched out. Baby died, and they have used that on the pulpit for years now. But he still talks about her, but he's doing a good work there. Okay. These are some of the blind men. They, after we got through with the Bible study, they sang some for us, and really sang well. Okay. They had also collected some clothes for these men, and they let us give out some of the clothes to them. This is another preacher. What is his name? This is another preacher and his wife that we work with over there also. Okay. Still another one. I can remember when his children were just little girls, but they're growing up now. But they're doing a good work out in a village. But you can see how poor these people are that are here. Just hard to imagine. But with that poverty, they need a church building, and they themselves have scraped and sacrificed and somehow have built this much of a building. And the people asked Vijay, how are we going to ever get a building beyond this? And he said, well, surely the Lord will help us some way. But, you know, for those poor people to have done this much is really something. If it would really help them if they just had a roof on this, much less sides, but if they just had some kind of roof on it, they could meet there for a long time. They've outgrown the other. Went up to another state, Andhra Pradesh. Okay. This is B. Thomas. B. Thomas is a very fine preacher, and his wife, and years ago a businessman supported this work, and so they have an extremely fine church building there. But the man's business kind of went under, and so he didn't have any support, and we've been working with him now for a few years. This was just an afternoon weekday, not a Sunday by any means, but we had some Bible studies there on that day. Charles must have been speaking, the way they're smiling. He can always make them smile. Okay. Okay. We both had an opportunity to speak on that occasion and enjoyed being with them. Then after the service, these people right here wanted to be baptized, not because of what Charles and I had done, but B.J. or B. Thomas had been studying with them, and so before the baptism again, he reads the scriptures to them. And I just thought of it, the young and the old that day. The Bible was being read and followed. Here's a man and his wife. They were going down in the pool, both B.J. and the woman, okay. There were several. I couldn't help but think about going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And this was after the baptism, okay. They were having a prayer. This little fellow right here is 21 years old. After they told me, I realized I hadn't seen an 8-year-old with a mustache. But okay. This is the building they have. It really is a fine building. And Brother Thomas is really a capable, mature gospel preacher, and he wants so badly to be able to have a preacher training school. He'd like to have about 30 preachers, and while they'd be working during the week, he wants to have a 4-day study each month with them. It would cost about $10 a month for each student to come there, but anyway, they've sure got the place, and they've got a good man that could teach them. Okay. 3 outstanding men. They all went to college together prior to going to the National Bible College. But they all have degrees in various fields, English, math, and so forth. And they were in school together, and they became close friends. And now they've all become Christians, and they are fairly close to each other, and they work with each other and help each other. Danajaya is the one who started the idea of having an orphan's home that we're working with now. Really fine men. This man, Nagabushnam, he drove 7 hours, I believe it was, to B. Thomas's place where we were. 7 hours back to his house, late or early in the morning, I guess it was, we finally got there. We stayed in their home for 3 days. His wife cooked our meals. And that man has, I guess, literally walked 1,000 miles or more teaching, preaching the gospel, and still is in demand by preachers and Christians and others all over that area. Never, never stops. Nagabushnam, great, great man. Now, you remember, maybe some of you will, last year we showed you this particular orphanage in J.R. Goodham, where Nagabushnam oversees this work, and the widows that were given grain and the orphans that were there. And out in this field now, they're building a dining hall for the children. And this fascinated me. It doesn't have a lot to do with mission work, but they were digging these holes. That there were 35 of these holes. They're 7 feet deep, I believe it was, each one of them. And they were going to fill them with concrete. And this is the way they were doing it. Okay, there were some men there that were mixing the concrete. And then the women would have these tin buckets kind of things. They'd fill it with concrete, and they carry those things on their head. She's passing it on to the next one. I said, well, how much do they get? They said about $2.50 a day. And the women were really doing that hard, hard work. But they'll fill 35 holes that way. Then we went to another place that we really had never been before. It was a several-hour journey. We stopped here by the train. When we got there, just some scenes along the way. That's a barber shop. Children were getting out of school. Here's a woman washing her clothes in this, I don't know what it was, creek or canal, and beating them on that concrete. Several ox carts went by. Okay, but when we got there, I've never been so surprised in a long time. This man, Sarupi, had invited us to come. How he got this building built, I have no idea. But when we saw that, it was really a surprise. But it was a new thing, and so we had a ribbon cutting here also. And he had gathered a large group of preachers, and we had an opportunity to study with them that day as well. But most all of these men are preachers that he's been studying and working with. That was an interesting day. Then on to Hugh Blee, okay? Several years ago, these brethren were meeting, first of all, in a preacher's rented house. They outgrew that. First time walked in there, every room in the house was filled with people. You could hardly walk. But they outgrew that, and so then they moved into a school building, but the people ran them out of there, and then they got up on the roof of the preacher's house, and finally the neighbors called the police, and they ran them off. They didn't have anywhere to meet. And through the generosity of some of you and the church and Northview and Flatwood, they have a fine building for them to meet in now. And doesn't have any doors, doesn't have any windows yet, and it'll eventually hopefully be plastered inside and out. But now they've got a place that they can call their own without being persecuted. Joel Providas, this is his family. He went there when there was nothing in that area, and just he and his wife. And now they have a congregation of, I think, better than 160 that just meet on a regular basis, and it's growing, and they'll fill this building up before long. But they have to take everything up every Sunday because no windows, no doors. They hope someday they can afford to do that. Had a good crowd. This was a Sunday morning when we met with them. Charles spoke on that Sunday morning, did a good job. But then another amazing thing that Joel has done, he has gone out into a new area called Denali and started another congregation in this house. Now, to get there, we had to go through a forest. Monkeys all through this. Everywhere you looked, you'd see monkeys, and they said they're lions and they're tigers and they're elephants that come out at night. They said just a few days before that, a little van, two or three elephants had attacked it and had rolled it over. And I thought, man, we got to come out of here at night. And, when we got there, they had a good crowd. And I said, Joel, how did you get this congregation started? And he said, well, I started going out there several years ago, and I just started meeting the people and getting to know them. And finally, I asked him if they'd like to have a Bible study, and he would study the Bible with them. And now he's got a good congregation, and he just started it one on one on one. And the amazing thing about this is that it's a long, long way out there. And so after they get through with their meeting at Hugh Blee, then they have about a four-hour drive by an old bus out there, and then have to go back. So he goes out there 3 days a month, and one of the members of the church goes the other day. Now, this is where they go to be baptized, in this river. It's a big river. I've seen people baptized in a river before, so that wasn't all that, unusual. Okay. But this is the little path that goes down to the water. And you'll notice there's a sign right here, okay? And here's what the sign says. Here's what the sign says. Ah, there it is. I don't know what it says. No, what it says is, beware of the crocodiles. And you can see the picture they had there of the crocodiles. Now, I'm telling you, these folks wanted to be baptized. If they would go down there where those crocodiles were to be baptized. I sure wish I could have found some other place. Okay. But we had a good Bible study that night. And I just got to thinking, these babies now are going to have an opportunity, these little children, to know the truth and grow up in the truth and with the gospel and the Lord's church. And there'll be another whole generation just because Joel and the brethren are willing to go out there. Can you imagine riding in something like that for 4 hours to get out there to do that? And he just wanted to teach others. He'd really like to have a little van like that. He told me what it would cost to use them, but I can't remember right now. But the members of the church could use that to go out there. But anyway, it was a real experience, an enjoyable thing. But to be with the orphans, to be with the little children, those who were baptized into Christ, to study in the Bible college with the students, and so many other things that took place on this trip to India. It was really a thrilling thing, and I just wish I somehow could convey to you as a congregation that what you're doing here in India is worthwhile, and only in eternity will we know how much has really been accomplished. Now, you think about what the Lord said, the harvest is plentiful. Workers are few, but the Lord of the harvest, therefore, pray that He send forth workers into His harvest field. And you're doing that, and it's a wonderful thing. Take the gospel. Okay. Charles?
I promised John I wasn't going to tell on him about the crocodiles, but he wanted to come back and tell you that he went down in the water and fought. No, he didn't. But it's amazing how people will go to all lengths to obey the gospel. We met a man, and he said that he had been baptized such and such a time, and John asked him, says, were you baptized down there where the crocodiles are? And he said, yes. It's amazing, before service I was talking to someone in 1981 when you decided to send me to India. Incidentally, you never talk about bringing me back, but that's okay. I make it back. But you know, that many years ago I told my wife, she says, how long do you intend to do that? And I said, well, maybe 3 or 4 years. Well, 3 or 4 years turned into 10 turned into 20, and 20 turned into a few more, and we're still making great progress in India. The people are hungry for the gospel. They come in droves to hear the preaching. They want us to stay and stay and stay. We could stay in every place for weeks and weeks, and the people would come. I'd like to tell you just a little story that happened. Last year, I went out to Dandali, this new congregation, and there wasn't any Christians there at the time, and we went out and preached for 2 days. And I never will forget, I talked about when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then we see in the Bible where it says that those people that heard the gospel, that they were added to the church, to the Lord's church. Now these people were denominational people from several different denominations. And I asked the question, I says, how many denominations are represented here? And somebody said, well, this one and this one and this one. And I think it was about 4 different congregations. And I asked the question, I says, which one of those did the Lord add those people to? Well, they didn't know. And I never will forget, there was one elderly lady. And I says, the Bible says, and the Lord added those that were being baptized or were being saved to the church. And I says, how many churches were there then? And somebody spoke up and said, one. I says, that's a good answer. There was one. And I said, now how many churches was it at that time? Well, some of them caught on, you know, and they held up one finger. And that's really simple, but the gospel itself is simple. The Bible says if a man believes and he confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repents of his sin and is baptized, that the Lord will add him to the church. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to know every verse in the Bible and what it says. But the Lord will add you to the church. This evening, as we assemble, if you've been taught in times past, or if you know what you need to do, You have the same opportunity that these people in India do. Simply come and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be buried with Him in baptism. Rise to walk a new life, and the Lord will add you to the church. If you have that need, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.